tell them how you feel sometimes. Like one day you might say to them, gosh, you're a great friend and I really appreciate you. That is part of you expressing to them what you feel deeply. Some of us are fearful of him. We think that he's going to punish us at the first wrong thing. Some of us think there's no way that we're going to be able to please God. You know, there's so many different ways we can look on God and expect him to be. But you know, it's as we read the word that we find out that God isn't at all like we think him. He's so much more far above any person in his expression and in his love to us. You know, we might have someone that we know really loves us, but they don't love us half as much as God loves us. That's what he's like. He's faithful. Ooh, he never changes. When are we going to go here? Well, God wants us to be built up today in the truth, amen? Because it's hard to praise someone you don't know, isn't it? I mean, if I was to say, well, some of you know me, so it's not a good thing, but if I was saying to that lady in the pink jumper, do you know this lady next to you? You there? No, this lady next to you, do you know her? Oh, you do? Okay. You don't know this lady here, do you? Stand up, Deb. If I was to say to you, why don't you praise, what do you know about this lady? You don't know anything, so you couldn't say really anything good about her except what you see externally, like, oh, she's got a pretty face and she's got nice hair and she's got a lovely voice. But do you know what I mean? You don't know her personally to say, I praise you because you're kind and considerate to me, you know? What I'm saying, thanks, Deb. What I'm saying is we need to know a person before we can express what they've done in us and how they've affected us. Do you know what I mean? And so many of us don't really know God as how he really is. We only know him about, you know, the way we imagine him to be, like I was saying. And I really believe that the Lord today wants to build us up in knowing his character. Okay? How many of you have been saved for a long time, like say more than 10 years? It's quite a lot here, isn't it? Would you say that you know God quite well? Do you know that he's faithful to you? That he loves you? Amen. How many of you have been saved not so long, like a year? Anyone been saved for a year? Oh, yeah. You're quite a new baby then. See, the older you get in the Lord, the more you get to know him. And the more experience you go through where he can prove himself faithful to you. So by the time you've been saved for 10 years, you'll know him better. And you'll be more confident in his love. And the same for my mate here that's only been saved a couple of weeks. You know, I realise it's difficult. Like when someone says, come on, give your all to the Lord. Like, it's hard to sort of give it your all when you don't really know what you're supposed to do. And so today, apart from helping you understand how much God loves you, I want to help you see that it's like you don't have to stand on the outside just because you don't understand yet. In the little way that you know of God, in as much as you've grasped of God this far, you can still praise him, you know what I mean, for what he's done for you. You don't have to wait till you're a 10-year-old Christian to say, right, I'm really qualified to worship God now. What I'm saying is that every one of us, however young you are, if you're 8 or 9 years old or whatever, you can still stand there and give your all to God and say, I praise you, Lord, because I know you're my friend, you know, and even the ways that God has helped you, you can give him praise for that. You see, and what I think many churches as well are a bit misguided. They think that praise and worship is just something that you do when you come into church once a week or twice a week, however many times you come in. But you see, praise... Our praise to God is to be like our whole lifestyle. It's not just a matter of coming in and singing songs. So today I'm going to hopefully encourage you to, for your whole life, to be a praise to God. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not just a matter of coming in and singing songs. And even though you come in and you do sing songs, even then sometimes you're not even praising God. All you're doing is mouthing words and that. Your heart is not engaged with what your mouth is saying. Do you know what I'm saying? it's so easy to come into church, sing a word, Jesus, we celebrate your victory, Jesus, we revel in your love. What we got for dinner, I wonder, today? Jesus, we rejoice, you've set us free, Jesus, your death has brought us life. What are you singing? Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Your victory over the devil. Your victory that I've been rescued from the tow rag. And now I'm in the kingdom of the Son that you love. You know, I'm in God's kingdom now. Jesus, we celebrate. With every word that we speak, we're supposed to radiate what we're singing, you know. Not for ourselves, but even for other people and for God. You know, God wants to see how we feel about him. Okay, he can see into your hearts, but he's given us a body to express, hasn't he? He's given us hands to reach out and to touch and to wave at him. He's given us mouths we can blow kisses at the Lord. You know, it's like every bit of our being needs to be given over to praising God. It's so easy just to stand there and mouth words and not to be there with our heart. Have you ever experienced that? Have you been guilty of that? I know I have at the first, you know. But it's like as we really get the revelation that what we're called to do and what God takes delight in as well, then we can just give it more of ourselves. We're called to worship God out of a pure heart, out of a heart that really just wants to express all that he's done. So we celebrate your victory. We revel in your love. You know what I mean? God's love is something to revel in. It really is. It's a love that will never fail you. It's the lyrics of this song, you know, faithful Lord, you never change. I mean, that one sentence is enough to praise God for. There's so many things in this life that changes. Our faces, the wrinkles come as we get older. We look in and think, hello, that wasn't there yesterday. And the boys have that problem too, don't you? The whiskers start getting a bit grey. Oh, he's not grey yet. But God never changes. He never gets in a mood with us. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? You know, we often think that God is so much like we are, and he's so much more not like we are. He never changes. Never, ever, ever changes. Never. And he never changes how he feels about you. And do you know how he feels about you? Well, you're accepted. If you've asked Jesus into your life, you're accepted in the Beloved. That's something to delight in, isn't it? You're not accepted because of your own performance. I think this is another way that we get deceived in the church. We become a Christian, we know God's accepted us, and then we try and earn our way to heaven. And then we get discouraged every day because every day we fail. Every day we have a thought that's not glorifying to God. Every day, you know, we struggle with that lemon person that gets on our wick. Every day we fail. But you see, this is where we need to realise that it's not us trying to get to God. It's not us trying to be good for God. It's not us trying to be a wonderful, perfect Christian. But it's us realising that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see? And when we realise that, that's when we get freed up. We get freed up from our striving and our stress to think, oh, I've got to live a better life. Yes, you will live a better life, but it's not because of what you're going to do, but it's because of Christ's strength and power and Holy Spirit in you. You see? And you see, when you start grasping that, it helps you with your praise and worship to God because you think, wow, God, I thank you that I don't even have to do anything except be open to your spirit working through me, you see, so that by the end of today even, you're going to know that it's not you trying to praise God, but you're going to know that it's his spirit in you welling up, and it's going to be your body letting him show through. Do you know what I mean? It's like it says, doesn't it, that we are earthen vessels, we're clay vessels, we're empty, but the life of Jesus is in us, you see. That's what that scripture means. I've been crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. You can't understand it in your brain box at all. But you have to live by faith. You see, you just have to believe that the word of God is the truth. And it says that I've been crucified with Christ. And I don't live anymore. So that means the old person, even the Christian that you've been trying to be up until today, that person's dead. And it's Christ in you. It's his joy, it's his peace, it's his character in you, flowing out of you. It's hard to understand. We can't understand God's ways, but all we have to do is believe it, you see. And that's what faith is. Believing it, even though you can't see it, and even though you can't fathom it out, you believe it. And somehow, when you begin to believe, then along the way, it sort of just, I don't know, it just works through. It's like with Doubting Thomas, you know. Doubting Thomas said to Jesus when he appeared after his resurrection, "Oh, let me just touch you, then I'll believe you." But Jesus said to him, "Blessed are those who believe but don't see." And that's us. You know, we believe in Jesus even though we can't see him, but somehow he is so real to us because we've taken the first step of believing. And believing that he is alive in us. It's not us trying to be good for him, but it's him alive in us and him doing the work through us. So to be a worshipper, you know, you can be every second of the day a worshipper because it's Jesus in you, you see. So by the end of the day, we're going to be more overflowing with thankfulness and love to God because we realize more and more of how he looks on us. So he never changes. He's so good to us. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to you. In what ways is he good to you? Well, he doesn't punish us like we deserve to be, because he put all the punishment that we deserved onto Jesus. This might seem very basic for some of you, but these are foundational things that we need to get a grasp of before we can sort of praise him. Do you know what I mean? Because if you don't know someone, it's hard to praise them. And if you're thinking that you're in condemnation all the time, you can't praise someone because you're in fear, you see. And God doesn't condemn any of us because there's no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus, you see. His love endures forever. Can you think of anything that you know of that has always been here on the earth? I mean, even the earth has never been forever, has it? Because one day God spoke it into existence. But God has always been. He always has been and he always will be. He's like a constant. And it says that his love endures forever. So his love is constant toward you. It doesn't change with your performance. If you've let him down one day, he doesn't say, "I don't love you anymore." You might be a bit disappointed, but he doesn't cast you away and say, "Get out, I don't love you anymore." See, he's not like us. We're so conditional with our emotions, aren't we? We're so conditional to how we feel about people. If they've hurt us, well, I've gone off them. Do you know what I mean? God's not like that to you. So if you've had phases of being let down, being rejected, being hurt by people, don't judge God in that way, because he doesn't look on you like that. His love is constant. His love endures forever. And now that you're a Christian, his love endures forever toward you. In fact, he loves all the world. There's the only difference between us and the people that don't know Christ is that they've not believed in Jesus yet. That's why they need to see his life and his love and his joy coming out of his people in praise. Doesn't mean just going around singing songs everywhere, but you praise God just the way you are, just by being, by smiling at someone, by giving a helping hand. You're showing that you're a worshipper of God by doing that. You know, we want to change your mindset maybe a bit today as to what praise and worship is. It's not just coming into church and singing songs. It's being. Amen. He gives us life. And not life, just not just a mundane life, but a full life. Life before we became a Christian was pretty up and down, probably, for most of you. Pretty in and out, up and down. Happy one day, depressed the next. He gives us life in all its fullness to enjoy. This is another thing that I think, especially young people, I know I was a young person once. I used to think, because I first became a Christian when I was about 14, and that was fine for a while, but I struggled and I found it difficult. And I used to think, well, life's going to be a bit more exciting if I'm not a Christian, because God puts so many limitations on life. But it's not true, you see. Someone's shaking his head profusely, agreeing with me. It's not true. That's the devil's lie, saying that you're going to miss out on fun if you don't become a Christian. I tell you, youngsters, being a Christian is the best thing you could ever do and ever be. Because God gives you life to enjoy in all its fullness. And the things that you enjoy with the Lord won't harm you. The things that you enjoy in the world without God destroy you ultimately. The drugs, the drinking, the free sex. It's all out to destroy you. It only gives you pleasure for a tiddly-widdly length of time. But ultimately, it kills you. But God's life is a life that won't kill you or destroy you. It'll blossom you. It'll prosper you. You know? Don't ever hold on to it, youngsters. Hold on to that life that you've got. Don't let anyone take it from you. Don't let anyone discourage you from being a Christian. Honestly. Because God is the greatest life. Having God's life is the greatest life you could have. And you're going to reach your friends by being a worshipper. You're going to reach your friends by being full of the Spirit and full of the joy and being thankful to God every day. You're going to be a shining light by being like that. And that's the way people come to know Christ, by us radiating him. So he gives us a joy beyond measure. Who wants to be joyful in here? There's so many miserable people in the world. And somehow he can give you a joy even when you're going through difficult times too. It doesn't mean that you're going around like a Cheshire cat all the time. Because a joy can be just like a deep felt thing, you know, that bubbles up. It gives you joy that you can't measure. How many people know we need more joy? Don't we? Amen. He's given us beautiful smiling teeth to show. They're all for a purpose. Yes, we were made to worship. There's a scripture. Don't worry, I'm going to give you some scripture as well. But all this song is based on scripture. So there's a scripture that says in, where is it now? Somewhere in there. Where is it? I can never remember. About, we read it the other day. We're the a holy people, a chosen nation. 1 Peter. Let's have a look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's us. That we may declare. Now, this is what we've been made for, you see. We belong to God so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is one of the main purposes of us here on the earth, that we may proclaim God's praises. And as I said, that doesn't just mean going and singing songs to everybody. It means that we may declare to the people that need to hear it by our life, that we declare God's goodness and God's faithfulness to us. You know, there's so many ways we can witness by our life style of praise and worship. So many ways. There's another scripture. Where is it? In the Psalms, it says that He's put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And then it says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord because of our praise, because of our lifestyle of praise and worship to Him. Many will see and fear and put their hope in the Lord. You see why it's so important that we break through the barriers that are trying to keep us suppressed and miserable in church and out of church even. It's so important that we as the Church of Christ get this revelation that we're called to declare with our life the praises of God. You know, and we need to start in the church because, boy, oh boy, the church is bound up, aren't they? The church is bound up. And, you know, God can use this core of people here in Grantham to begin to free His people first, and then through His people, free the rest of Grantham. Because they're free, they're confident in their God, they're confident that they have the Holy Spirit within them doing the work. They've got through all the fear, knowing that it's not them that's got to do it, but it's God. You know? This is what God wants to do. He's starting with His people to reveal to them afresh, look, I've done it all. You've got everything at your disposal. You've got the power, you've got the joy, you've got the peace, you've got the love, you've got everything you need to give and to express my life. Now use it. And we're so bound up in embarrassment, self-consciousness, which is a sin, because it's self. And self shouldn't be alive anymore, because I, the middle letter of sin, I, have been crucified with Christ. You see why it's so important? How many of you want to be freer today than you were when you first came in? Any of you? Amen. And the Lord's going to do it, you see, because He's revealing His goodness to us today. And He's going to show us ways that we've been deceived in the church. You know, so many ways we've been deceived, where we think that we're singing praises to God and we're not. We're just singing a song. We think we're praising Him by sort of going like this and getting a woozy feeling. But that's not praise. Praise is verbal. Praise and worship is something that we do. We don't just sit passively in a seat and think nice thoughts about God. That isn't praise. That's not declaring the praises. You see what I mean? Declaring is an actual thing that we do. It's not a thing that we think. See what I mean? And we're called to be confident, to be bold in Him, to declare and tell people, tell one another. You know, it says that, where is it in Corinthians somewhere, isn't it? I'm really going just with the flow today. I didn't have any of this written down or anything. The Lord's showing me that I need to know my Bible better. But it's Christ in me. Where is it? Corinthians, where it says about... You'll have to help me here because you probably know the Bible better than I do. About each one of us has a hymn, you know, it's in, where is it? Speak up. Call it out, and if it's the wrong one, I'll tell you. Colossians, that might be it. I know it started with C. It's good to be relaxed together, isn't it? No blimmin' formal posh things here, I'll tell you. It's just us in the Lord, in our weakness, letting Him shine through. Amen. There we are. Here we are. Colossians 3, verse 12. Let's read this, because this is a good... Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us, holy and dearly loved. Holy means that God has made you holy. You see, it's not you that's done it by your own performance, but God has made you holy. And being holy doesn't mean that you're walking around, oh, Lord, I'm holy, don't touch me, I'm holy. I can't go into a pub because I'm holy. I can't go and see anybody that's doing naughty things because I'm holy. You see, holiness is being set apart. It doesn't mean being set apart. It doesn't mean, because Jesus said, didn't He, that I set you apart from the world, but I don't take you out of the world, because you need to be in the world to reach the lost. But He sets us apart in our thinking, you see, because this is where the whole of our battleground lies, in the mind. And we need to be set apart in our whole attitude so that we don't have the attitude of the world, but we have God's attitude, you see. So God has made us holy. He set us apart. And we don't have to be affected by what affects other people, because God sets us apart in our thinking. We have to do our little part as well by renewing our minds, but maybe a bit more of that later. But as God's chosen, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes, you know, when I used to read the Bible before I understood it a bit more, I didn't really used to believe that they were talking about me, you know, because the old devil doesn't want you to believe God's word, because God's word sets you free, because it's the truth. It sets you free from all the wrong thinking that we've grown up with. We're dearly loved. We're not just loved a little bit, but dearly loved. It's wonderful. God dearly loves us. So, because we're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we must clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, you see, we clothe ourselves with Christ, who is all these things. So, you know, even with this verse, you don't have to think, oh, gosh, I've got to be compassionate today. All you've got to do it every day is say, Father, thank you that Jesus is in me. And today, if I'm going to need to be compassionate, it's your compassion I'm going to be compassionate with. It's your kindness. It's your humility in me, Lord. You see? It takes all the stress and the striving to think, oh, I've got to be like this. Because it makes you miserable trying to do it yourself, because you can't, because you fail at the first turn. So we clothe ourselves with Christ. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, God has forgiven us so much, hasn't he? And so often we hold grudges against people because they've hurt us, but we need to always think of how much God's forgiven us and forgive those people in the same way. Over all these virtues, put on love. But this is a bit, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. You see, this is part of what I'm saying. We need to be a thankful people, speaking thanks to God in every circumstance. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means read the Bible, learn it, you know, eat it, because it's your substance, it's your daily bread, you know, you need it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Admonish just means build one another up. This is what I'm coming to. I know I've gone a bit around the board to get there. But we need to build one another up with hymns and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. You see, how many times have we stood here just singing the blimmin' hymns? There's some wonderful hymns. I'm not knocking hymns. There's some great ones, but there are some really old, blimmin' awful ones that don't praise God at all. Some of them singing to the dead. Do you know what I mean? But when we're singing the songs, we sing with gratitude in our hearts to the Lord. We don't just sing them blat, 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 like a goldfish just mouthing words. We sing it understanding what we're singing and praising the Lord with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, and that's it. As a body, we're called to declare to one another God's word, God's truth. And then also when we go out to the world, to our neighbours, to our friends in school, you know, when our friends might be fed up one day and saying, oh gosh, there's no bloomin' hope in this life, I don't know, I'm never going to get a job when I leave school. But you're called to say, look, you know, there's hope for you. There's hope when you've got a friend like I've got. He can help you out, you know. God is so practical, and he wants us to be a practical in our praise and worship so that we draw others to him. He's my rock, and he'll always be the same. A rock is pretty hard. You can't move it very easily, if at all, some rocks. You know, and a rock signifies stability. Jesus doesn't waff around in the breeze like we do. Our emotions sometimes waft here and there, don't they? But Jesus is the rock of our salvation, you know. And you can know that you can run to that rock when your life is getting a bit unsteady. You just run to the rock and he'll keep you safe. There's so many ways that that God just helps us, isn't there? And the more we get to know his character, then we just trust him more. Because the more you get to know someone, you put more trust in them, don't you? It's hard to trust someone you don't know. You wouldn't do it, would you? You wouldn't give someone, a stranger, £100 to look after if you didn't know them, for example. And with the Lord, the more we get to know him, the more we trust him as our rock and our fortress and our deliverer and everything. He's wonderful. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of Jesus. There's a scripture here. Where is that one then? I'm testing you and your Bible knowledge. It's in Romans, is it? No? Romans 8, that's right. Just checking. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of Christ. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8, verse 37, 38. We can be a conqueror through life because the love of God keeps us safe. He is the rock of our lives. We can be a conqueror. You see, in this scripture is the truth for you. If you go through days where you think, oh, God doesn't love me anymore, this is why we need to learn the word, because we can turn to it or have it by memory in our mind. Say you're feeling that you're being attacked by the enemy, for example. On those particular occasions, you can say, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons can separate me from the love of God. You know, we need to use the word as a sword in our lives. That's what the whole armour of God in Ephesians 6 is all about. It's not just a nice few lot of words written in this book to look at now and again. These are truth. This is the word of life, the word of truth. This is the sword of the Spirit that will free you as you use it of every evil attack, you know. It's not just a good theory, but it works. This is all part of your worship to God, you see, as you're learning the word and as you're using it, you're showing yourself to be a worshipper, because you're setting his word above the circumstance of life, you know. In a situation recently, my mum suddenly died back in May, and I don't know if she was saved. I mean, as far as I know, she wasn't anything but. But like, as soon as I found out, it was midnight and I couldn't sleep, and I got the phone call at midnight and I got out of bed and I just ran to the little room that I've got, and I just ran to Jesus. I just said, Jesus, Jesus. I didn't know what to say. You know, you just don't know what to say, do you, when things like that happen? But I ran to him as my rock, knowing that he would keep me safe and he would keep me through it all, and he would just give me everything that I needed to get through the next few weeks. You know, and in that same way, I'm trusting God's word, that his word says in Ezekiel, somewhere. It says, you can tell I wasn't prepared, can't you? It's just, but I know I've got it coloured somewhere, so it will jump out in a minute. It says that God doesn't want any man to perish. It says, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? You see, this is God's heart. And like, as far as my mother's concerned, I'm standing on God's word that he is sovereign, that he is very just, and that all his ways are the right ways. And like, I know that even if in her dying breath my mum cried out to God, that she will be with him. You know, because it says here, I don't take any pleasure in the death of people, but I want them all to turn. And God is so sovereign that he can, in someone's dying breath, he can reveal himself to them. He's so gracious that he can save them just like that, you know. And this is a way that I know that God is my rock, because even in this situation where I could be actually now in turmoil, thinking, God, she's gone to hell. But like, she might have done, I don't know, but I'm just trusting that God is sovereign, God is just and fair in every decision that he makes. And regarding my mum's salvation and anyone else in my family that's gone, he will do the right thing, you see. And this is a way that us in our life, we hold on to God's word like that, because we can be tormented if we don't hold on to God's word. We can be truly tormented when we think of loved ones that has gone, going to hell, and we can be tormented by guilt of what we should have said and what we should have done, and we didn't have time because they were taken just like that. You know, and the devil tried to get at me like that, but I just had to stand on God's promise that, Lord, I was faithful. You know, I tried what I felt was right at the time when she was alive, and it's just, it's up to you now, God. You know, I leave her in your hands. This is just practical ways that we stand on God's word, that we show ourselves to be a worshipper, because we're honouring his word above all of our situations and all of our emotions and all of our feelings. Another way that in churches, you know, we come in and we're encouraged by the leaders to worship the Lord. Hopefully in some churches you are, and some I don't know what they do, but we're encouraged to give God a sacrifice of praise, and we come in and we don't feel like it because we've had a bad day or we're tired or something, and we just stand there and just mouth the words like I said before. But you see, the way the enemy deceives us is if we don't feel like it and we do it, we're being hypocrites. But that's a lie, because you see, we have to overcome the flesh that doesn't want to praise the Lord at any time. I mean, my flesh, I've got to overcome my flesh today because I feel tired, you know. It was a late night last night and I never find it easy getting up in the mornings anyway. You know, we all got to fight the flesh, haven't we, and say, right, I'm not going to let this hold me down. You see, it's crashing through the concrete that tries to keep us weighted and depressed and boring. You see, God wants us to be exciting and excited for him and to give it our everything. So, where was I? That's right. The feelings, you see, sometimes lie to us. Just because we don't feel like worshipping or praising God, we won't do it because we don't want to be a hypocrite. But the truth is that we're called to rise above the feelings. And in faith, you see, everything, it says the just will live by faith. Everything that we do, we need to do by faith. Do you know what I mean? Everything, even worshipping the Lord and praising the Lord, we're doing it by faith, believing that he's even hearing us. Because the old devil can come at you and say you're just mouthing a load of words to a load of clouds up in the sky. But you see, everything's by faith. God is there and he's pleased with his people that are giving a sacrifice of praise. It says that anything that is not of faith doesn't please God. So everything that is of faith pleases him, you see. I just want to build you up really with the truth, you know, that all that God is and all that you are, now that you've got Christ in you, nothing can separate you from him, from the love of God. And that, you know, who can be against us when God is on our side? You see, so often we, like Matt, I don't know if any of you were here last night, but Matt, the young lad that was talking to the youngsters, he said that, you know, the old devil comes at us and the way he makes us think is that there's thousands of demons around and one little measly angel in the corner. But you see, when the devil took however many angels, rotten angels with him, the naughty angels, when he took them with him, he only took one third. You see, this is what we forget. He only took one third of the rebellious angels with him. So God's got two thirds. Do you know what I mean? There's so many more. There's so much more of God than there is of the devil. The devil's a little pipsqueak in comparison to our wonderful God. And that's the truth. And you mustn't be scared to talk about the devil, because he's under your feet. If you've got a message for the devil, you write it there, okay? Because that's where he is. And that's the truth. Everyone who is in Christ has the mighty one inside of him. And you don't have to fear, because the devil can't harm you. It says in another scripture, I can't remember, I'm not going to bother looking at it because it's in my head, that he will, Jesus, God, will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me into his heavenly kingdom. These are scriptures that you need to hold on to and have, so that when you get attacked, even in church, you know, whatever way you're being attacked and held down in some way, you must know that you've got the victorious one within you, that you can rise above and stand firm and send the old enemy packing. That's the truth of it. And the more people that get hold of it in the church, the more victorious we're going to be and the more souls we're going to see set free, not only in the church but in the world, because we're living it. Like Matt was saying last night, we're living in the power that God's given us and the authority. And it all starts, you see, with getting out of our self-consciousness, even in praising God. This is a start. Because as you break free, it will spread, you see. It will. I can see you're beginning to break free just as I'm talking. I'm really excited. It's wonderful to be free of self-consciousness, I tell you. It really is wonderful. It's real, real joy to be free from self-consciousness. Does anyone feel self-conscious? You wouldn't admit to me now if you did. It's a great freedom. Then there's something, you know, that draws people to you when you're free as well. You'll be drawn. You'll be drawers of men. You'll be like magnets. They'll come. They'll come flocking because they'll see you've got something that they need. Because how people need to be free, don't they, out there? Yeah? I'm not sending you to sleep, am I? Hallelujah. Anyway, and through the trials and the tribulations, you know, you can know God's arms are underneath you, because that's what it says, under are the everlasting arms. And his arms are mighty big. He can carry all of us and more in his arms. Amen. And his spirit inside of us is our everlasting friend. He's always here. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes you feel that he's not there anymore. And I mean, I've been like that. I've felt, gosh, I feel so dry. I feel like a dry bone, Lord. Dry bone. But you see, the truth is he never leaves us. And the reason we get dry is because we've stopped drawing from the well. We've stopped letting it come out. It's the only reason. The well's still there. You see, and it can only be topped up with fresh water as we give out from the well. You see, it's like a motion like that. We give out. God pours in, we give out, God pours in. And he does. It's great. Hallelujah. He's promised that he's going to keep us strong as his people. He's going to keep us strong. He's going to continue the work he's begun in us. Amen. And, well, he's all these things, really. So, I think it would be good. Why don't we just have a time of thanking the Lord, you know, because it's a good time to have a practice while there's only a small group of us, of actually hearing ourselves speak out praises to the Lord, you know, and it's so encouraging when we hear one another speaking out praises and thanks to the Lord. So all you need to do, we'll just stand and worship the Lord, and as you think of something to thank God for, speak it out so we can all hear it and thank him with you. You know, we're just going to have a time of corporate thanking the Lord and declaring his praise with us as a people, okay? Because it's just a good exercise. If you've not done it before, you'll probably feel totally embarrassed, but don't be, because it's a sin being embarrassed. And God will help you. Amen? because you want to break free, don't you? And you see, it's just little hurdles we need to take, we need to jump over. They're not big ones. And you find, as you jump over a little one, the next one gets a bit bigger, but you get ready for that, and you jump over that one, and then you think, yeah, it's not as hard as I thought. And then God gets you ready for the really big ones, like standing in front of people and encouraging them to praise them, praise him, you see. This is a big hurdle for us, but God has prepared us for it, and he's got us over our self-consciousness and got us over what our worry, our fear of man, fear of what man might think of us. Doesn't matter what you think what I'm saying is right or wrong, or doesn't matter what you think about me, because I know that I'm standing in the Lord, and do you know what I mean? It's so good to be set free of worry and fear of man, because that, I think, is a major thing in us humans. We worry too much about what other people think of us, don't we? And it really doesn't matter. It's what God thinks of us is the main thing. So do you think that sounds a good idea? Maybe we'll sing a song, and then we'll have a time of speaking out.